This is Space Kate in Toronto at the International Astronautical Congress, and I'm with Chris Vasco from the Technical University of Eindhoven from the Department of Applied Physics. And he was on the Next Generation plenary during the conference, and there were some really exciting ideas that came out from the younger members of the space community here. Now, Chris's work looks like it could actually help us with more long-duration missions, and he said something that really interested me, that he could make rocket fuel out of water. How do you do that?
Yes, that's a nice question. Well, my research has been dealing with non-equilibrium atmospheric pressure plasmas, which are really very different from the kind of plasmas we usually have in our minds. So they are not the big, beautiful, spacey ones. They are really tiny and cold ones, and they have one extremely valuable property, and that is plasma chemistry. So to give you an example, if you have helium and water vapor and you light a plasma in it at certain conditions, you will be producing over 1,200 different molecular species. Many of them do not survive if they leave the plasma, but some of them do. And for example, hydrogen peroxide survives. So you can take water, you vaporize it, you light a plasma in the water, and you will produce hydrogen peroxide, you will produce ozone, you will produce a wide array of different species that have many, many applications. But for example, hydrogen peroxide is being used currently by the Soyuz as rocket fuel. So you could just take water, which will be there. When we are in a long-term mission, we will always have food, we will always have water, and we will always have power. And water and power is all it takes to make that chemistry work for you.
But surely you don't want to use up all the water that's there for the crew to drink.
No, of course not. I mean, we are now looking into technologies that are hopefully going to support long-term, for example, long-term habitat projects in isolated areas, or missions, for example, to Mars, to the Moon. These missions are all facing a huge difficulty that resources will be extremely limited. So before we can even send people there, we have to make sure that the basic components humans need for survival are there. So this means we will have means to produce water from mining them somehow, capturing them on an asteroid, whatever science fiction takes your mind. But a fraction of that water could be actually used to produce other things. So if you picture a habitat isolated on Mars, if something breaks, it will take a couple of years until replacement is there if you don't have it. So you will need means to produce something on the site with the resources that you've been given. And plasma chemistry is just one of many ideas that scientists have been coming up in the community that could give you a lot of liberty and a lot of possibilities and flexibility to produce something out of the very basic things you have there.
When we traditionally think of rocket fuel, we think of some pretty toxic, noxious chemicals. How is it that we can use hydrogen peroxide as rocket fuel in space?
Hydrogen peroxide has one very nice property. It loves to oxidize stuff. And when it oxidizes, the only thing that happens, it splits into water and oxygen. So the toxic thing is one of the huge benefits. How can you use it as fuel? Basically, you can use almost anything in fuel as fuel if you're in space. So if you want to keep your satellite in orbit, if you want to keep your capsule rotating at a certain speed, all you need to do is you need to release gases in some form that propel away from your spaceship. And the question is, what kind of gases will you be using? And hydrogen peroxide was one of the things that I've proven to be easy to handle, easy to produce. And if something goes terribly wrong, your astronaut will not die of any kind of contamination. It will just be water and oxygen.
Now, plasma, it's not a word that we use very commonly. I mean, we do use it commonly in terms of like a plasma screen television, but what really is that? Can you give us a sort of basic idea of, you know, what plasma is so that we can understand?
Yes, certainly. You have to imagine plasma to be the most chaotic state of nature. So if you look around yourself, what you're seeing is molecules and atoms that are in a very comfortable setting. They have come to a certain equilibrium and nothing bad is happening. With a plasma, it's different. A plasma is atoms and molecules in a very excited state at such a high temperature, in general cases in high temperature, that the atoms are losing their electrons. And you have to consider the atoms and the molecules apart from the electrons. And that state is basically somewhere like a super hot gas, or somewhere in between the liquid and the gas, actually, really. It's the most abundant form of matter in the universe that we have. And what is happening there is that because you're going away from the traditional, stable, boring, terrestrial form of matter into something that requires high energies and high temperatures, all the rules that we are familiar with apply in a slightly different way. We've been using that kind of plasmas on Earth for already quite some time, actually. So I'm pretty sure all of us at home have light-saving bulbs, which are plasma technology. We're using smartphones, which have been printed with technologies based on plasma chemistry, where you're etching your little computer chips. We are actually looking at plasmas of different color when we look at the plasma screen that you mentioned. A plasma screen is nothing else than very, very small tubes of the three base colors that we have, and if you combine them in the right amount, you'll get a different color. That is plasma. Plasma is controlled chaos. It's a gas subjected to high electrical fields that make it break down, and that manifests in atoms, molecules losing their electrons, and what we see from this is light. So generally, if you look up in the sky, what you will be seeing, you see a hot plasma, you see thermal plasmas, you see the stars. If you touch your computer screen, hopefully it's not that hot, but your computer screen most likely is an LCD. That's a different technology, but if you have a lot of money, then it will most likely be a plasma screen, and that is a cold plasma. That is a controlled, triggered loss of electrons from the molecules, and whenever they recapture them, they have so much energy, these electrons, but when they fall back into places they're supposed to be, we see that difference of energy as light, as colorful light, and that's what the plasma is.
And it's not just rocket fuel that you can use these plasmas for. There's some biological applications as well.
Exactly, yes. So plasma chemistry is so new that we are still on beginning to understand what's actually happening. And what happened at some point is we realized that they're producing reactive oxygen species. So species are now active molecules or atoms that interact with matter very quickly because they are not stable in natural form. And it's known that so-called reactive oxidative species from oxygen species, let me say that again, it is known that ROS or reactive oxygen species are very, very, play a very big role in human physiology. That's what we are having, the oxidants in our body, and they play a big role. So we exposed these plasmas to cells, and we found out something really surprising, that bacteria react differently than human-like cells, because they die. Cells need a certain environment to thrive in, and if you change that environment, every organism has a different way of reacting to it. And it turns out that plasma chemistry changes the environment of the cells in such a way that bacteria will die because they cannot cope with it, but skin cells like it, or they are not so happy with it, but they die at a lesser rate. So this means suddenly I can use a plasma, if I'm careful enough with it, to treat surfaces, wounds that previously wouldn't heal properly, and you can heal them. You can use many plasmas to disinfect big surfaces, which is a huge problem. You can use them to disinfect tools, but at the same time to disinfect skin. And that is something we usually are struggling with. Imagine a little baby, a neonatal that has just been born. Hygiene is extremely important. And if you have a little gizmo that you just switch on and it's perfectly clean afterwards, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping this plasma chemistry can do for us.
Kind of sounds a little bit like you're trying to invent a sonic screwdriver from Doctor Who.
Yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. Of course, the Doctor's sonic screwdriver remains a big mystery to all of us, and we would just love to unravel those mysteries.